most in the league. And Kern gets a line drive punt away that's bounding to a halt at the one. Perfection.
Next time you walk by me without giving me a high five, we're going to have some problems.
High five, Brett.
Chasing Big Joe, 102.5, 106.3, the game. Brett Kern joins us now here on the program. I don't remember what game that was. Do you remember what game that was, Brett?
Which is the Patriots punt or the one with Big Jeff?
Was it Jeff? Was it Big Jeff? That's what producer says.
Yeah, Big Jeff and I had a conversation. We had a little come to moment. I think we were playing the Texans. So it was after a sack that he had on a pretty good stunt. And, I had my hand out there for a high five, for congratulations. And I was just walked right by me. So I had to let him know. I didn't appreciate that. And I was just there for some encouragement and to give him a high five. And, he knew he was going to get paid a big contract. And I just wanted to keep him humble and just really know who'd been around that building a long time and who was boss. So,
yeah, you proved the point too. Good for you. Good job, that. Brett. Why is that? You should make that Jim Nantz call right there your ringtone on your phone.
Oh gosh, I tell you what, if I could just have, because Jim, I think he lives around here now, and so just to be able to potentially meet him and just have him kind of reenact that play again or something like
right.
that, but. If I can make that a ringtone of some sort,
yes.
or maybe my alarm clock, when I wake up in the morning to get the kids ready for school and just have the words of Jim Nantz, punt down at the 1 yard line against the Patriots, to end Tom Brady's career in New England would be pretty cool.
Yeah. I would go to a restaurant and put your phone on the table and have friends call you like 7 times. Like, is that my phone? Is that mine? What in the world? And have it that way. That way people would know.
Jim Nantz saying my name. Sorry, guys. I don't know what's going on here.
So, Brian Callahan continues to build his coaching staff. And the thing that's interesting to me, and I mean, he's brought in, some of these assistants like Frank Bush, Steve Jackson. They've been here before with the Titans, bringing them in. They've obviously been around the league. But when it comes to the coordinators, not a lot of experience. So you have a rookie head coach / play caller, rookie OC, rookie DC. You're bringing in Bill Callahan to coach the offensive line, who has experience, but what do you think about how he's putting this all together?
Yeah, I mean, I think he's done a really good job. I think, first of all, it's awesome that, he could bring his dad in, really kind of help, with him being his first time being a head coach, right? And to have somebody like Bill, obviously your dad to come in, who's been a head coach and has been around the block and is probably one of the most well-respected position coaches, in the NFL, right? And so for him to be able to come in, to get his pops to come in, help him out and to get through this experience. And I think, the biggest thing that Brian's doing is he's hiring guys that he trusts, which is kind of a slippery slope. Like, you don't want to bring in the guys that are like the yes men that say, hey, I want to do this and this, right? Yes, that's great. I think you should do that. And they're constantly kind of saying yes because they're, your buddy, or they might be fearful of what happens if you say no, right? But I think it's guys that he trusts. I mean, I think Nick, if I'm correct, I think Nick and him, Holtz, the new OC, they played high school football together, right? So, yep. That relationship, you go with your high school buddy, like I'm sure Nick has told Brian no multiple times, right? So, Nick's been around. I mean, for him to be with the Raiders for 10 years and to go through four coaching changes through that time period says a lot about who he is, what he knows. Obviously he's well versed in the systems that he's been around, West Coast, whatever you name it. I think he's been around it, and what he's done even last year with the Jags, the passing game coordinator, did really well. And so I know his name was hot, but for him to come here, and Brian, calling the plays, right? I think that's the first and foremost. So to bring Nick in to really help him formulate game plans, that ABC game plan. And same with Denard. I mean, Denard's been around. I was in Philly with him last year. Great guy. I know the defense loved him. I was kind of sad that KB missed out, being with him when he went up there this year. But, it's a guy that's been around. He's been under guys like Bowles and Greg Williams. And so these guys have kind of paid their time. They paid their dues to get to this spot where, hey, I'm ready to be an OC. I'm ready to be a DC. And I think it'll be a good opportunity for them. And I think it'll work out well.
Brett, what would be your piece of advice to give to Brian Callahan when he's looking for a special teams coach, what he needs in that position?
Yeah, I mean, that's, I think it kind of depends on what Brian, what his philosophy is with special teams, right? Is he kind of the play it safe, in certain situations? Is it more or less, hey, you know, I'm punt return because I want to set my offense up. Get me a guy that can just catch the punt. And if he gets 5-10 yards, great. Or is it, hey, we're going to rush the punter. We're going to make him feel comfortable. We're going to run fake punts, right? Because there's different philosophies, different guys, different coordinators kind of have different thinking on that kind of stuff. And, they like to, get a little tricky with certain things on returns or their types of punt rushes. And so I think it just depends on what he feels most comfortable with. And then somebody that obviously is great relationally that knows the schematics, but I mean, you can also bring in an assistant special teams coordinator to help out with that. But, I think we talked earlier, special teams, you pretty much meet with everybody at some point during the week. And so someone that can relate to all the guys, I think it's going to be very important. So I'll be really curious to see who he goes and gets.
Brett, when you were with the team, when all these changes went on with new coaches, hiring assistants, how did you always find out? Did you find out through TV, radio, tweets, or teammates? How'd you find out?
Well, before social media, usually you'd kind of get a text message from, like, I remember when Jim Wyatt was working for the Tennessean, and he would text me like, hey, are you excited to have such and such as your coordinator? I'm like, oh, cool, thanks. I should probably go look and see, where he's been and what he's done, right? And then obviously with social media, Twitter, a lot of times I just found out through Twitter, right? You find out who's going to be your head coach, your coordinators, your special teams coordinators, all that kind of stuff. Same with like free agency, right? You hop on Twitter and it's like, oh, hey, the Titans signed, Wesley Woodyard when he came here, right? And, that's mainly how you find out. I think one time I was actually in the building working out, and I think Frank, who was the strength and conditioning guy before with Vrabel, I was actually working out and he came in. He's like, hey, I'm the new guy. I was like, oh, cool. All right. Well, that's one way to find out too. So, it's pretty much through social media. It's not like, you get an email from the Titans saying, hey, we're just about to have this press release and we're hiring so-and-so and so. It doesn't work like that. You just find out pretty much how everybody else finds out.
What, I know last year you were out there with the Super Bowl in Phoenix and all that went on. We talked a little about that last week with your adventure out there. What was the coolest part for you being around all that last week, the hype before the Super Bowl?
Yeah, I mean, I'd say the week before the Super Bowl, so last week for the guys is absolutely insane because you have to figure out your tickets, who's coming out to the hotel, who's staying with you. Obviously you want your family to be taken care of, and so how can you best take care of them with room situations? We have, my wife and three other kids, right? So how can we figure out, setting up the best hotel situation for them and who else wants to come out? And it's just crazy, right? But once that's done, once you get out there, then you kind of feel like it's a normal week. It was nice because last year we stayed out. I think it was the Wild Horse Pass, but it was far out there, right? I think it was 20, 30 miles south of Phoenix. So you kind of felt like you were in the middle of nowhere. There was 36 holes of golf, which was great to
nice.
Go play on Tuesday, the day off, which was really, really good, just kind of leading up to that week. Besides like hopping on a bus, to go practice at the Cardinals facility and all that kind of stuff. But you get police there's more police cars escorting you, than I think there are people actually on the bus. I mean, it's absolutely insane. It's a crazy week, but it feels normal for the most part. And then obviously once you get to the game, it's pretty crazy. So
we're talking to Brett Kern, former Titans punter, who's here with us on the program. We saw Derrick Henry this week at the Pro Bowl and you've been to a Pro Bowl before, but kind of different now with a flag football game and not a true game anymore. What do you think about it? And I don't know if you've had a chance to speak with Derek at all, but I'd be curious of his thoughts.
Yeah, I mean, I did watch my older son. He was interested in kind of checking it out with the flag football and all that kind of stuff. So I did. probably the best thing that they did was they put grass over that nasty turf in that Camping World Stadium, because that turf is awful. And I guarantee you the NFLPA was like, look, if you want to keep doing this, like, you got to put some grass on this stuff. So, you know, it's a, for me, it was pretty much like flag football. I only had one punt in 3 years of going. So I, you know, it was relatively easy for me, but, I think it's good. The transition to flag football, and, you know, guys aren't hitting each other and all that kind of stuff. And so it's an all-star game, right? I mean, I don't know how you best go about doing it in a highly, you know, contact sport without anybody getting hurt. So, I'm sure it was great for Derek just to be able to go down there, have fun with his family. I know in Orlando, it's a really, really good time with, the Disney that they set up for you, and Universal Studios and all that kind of stuff. So I'm sure he had a great time, with his family. And, I'm sure he is probably in a situation where, you know, we bring in, you know, Bill Callahan, who's probably the best offensive line coach in the league, and Brian, who still wants to be physical and run the ball. And so kind of like, where's my place, right? You know, if you're bringing in another running back, you know, I'm not sure. I know the running back class is loaded as far as free agents, Eckler and Josh Jacobs and all stuff. Well, they're going to command a higher price, right? And really, would you rather have a Josh Jacobs or a Derrick Henry in this type of system? I don't know. That's up for Rand and Brian and Bill and all those guys to figure out. But, like, for me, I'd rather see 22 still in a Titans jersey, you know, running through people and, you know, helping the team win games. So, but I know he's probably potentially anxious to maybe try free agency. But I think in his heart, he probably still wants to be here. But we'll see. We'll see what happens for him.
How many Pro Bowls did you get to, Brett?
I did the trifecta. I did three in a row, which was pretty crazy. And the first year I went, I had a sports hernia, and so I actually punted the last 10 games of the year with a tear in my abdomen, which was not great. But it was the first year I made a Pro Bowl, and they were like, hey, you know, you should probably get this, you know, surgery, you know, after the season. I think it was after the New England game, beat the Chiefs, and then we went to New England and lost. And I remember thinking, no. This is my first Pro Bowl. Like, I've kicked 10 games on it at this point. Like, I'm going down there. And I told Tomlin, Mike Tomlin was the head coach. I said, look, I got a sports hernia. I can barely get my leg above my hip. And he goes, dude, I got you, man. We're not going to punt. Don't worry about it. Okay. And so literally the first, I think it was the second possession. It was like 4th and 8 on our own 30. I'm thinking, oh, I mean, we got to punt. And I kind of start jogging out there, and Mike looks at me and he's like, hey, man, get off. I told you we're not punting. Get off the field. All right, here we go. Yes. I immediately took my helmet off, put my ball cap on, and, you know, I just was a spectator the rest of the day. So it was a good experience. But it's fun. It's a fun week. It's a good little reward for kind of the end of the season. So
he followed that up with, Brett, this is the standard, okay? The standard is the standard from Mike Tomlin.
He was great. And, you know, Danny Smith, the special teams coordinator, he's an awesome guy. He probably chews the most bubble gum, you know, in poundage per season. That man can chew bubble gum like no other. But, yeah, I mean, I think the second year I might have had one punt just because it was raining. It was pouring so bad, and there was maybe 10,000 people there. And then last year, I didn't think I punted again. I mean, it was just a fun week. And people aren't there to see punters punt and kickers kick, right? They want to see, you know, all the big names and all that stuff. So I was perfectly fine with sitting on the bench watching these guys play.
It's like Madden. You don't punt on Madden.
Hey, if you punt, that's why people always ask me, like, man, what do you think about your rating on Madden for punting? I'm like, if you're using me on Madden, you got a problem.
So let's just... Yep. Brad, appreciate it as always, and we will get your thoughts on the Super Bowl next week.
Yeah, it'll be tough. I don't know if I'll watch or not, but I guess I'll watch just so I can, you know, talk to you guys on Monday on the radio. So
you want to see what happens with Taylor Swift and Travis Kelce. It's okay. It's fine.
absolutely not. Please, no.
Thanks as always. Have a good week.
Yep. Take care.
That's Brett Kern, former Titans punter, joining us here on the program, as he does every Monday at 9:30. And yes, we're all going to get worn out with Kelce and Taylor Swift.
No, we're not. Wouldn't it be a wonderful world, though, where you didn't – I mean, no offense, Brett. We love you, but no more punting. Just – you got to go for it. Just,
I notice you say that when I hang up.
All right. I'm not going to do that when he's on here. Mike Tom, like, we ain't going to punt, man.
I told you. We're not punting.
UFL is right around the corner. You have a new little punting format in that, I believe.
What really? Is?
The UFL.
Oh, okay.
You know, when you go for two and you want to get the ball back, it's like a fourth and 18 yeah. instead of, you know, kicking to get the onside. You throw the ball, get the conversion.
You know, we've talked about this before. Some of those ideas are fantastic. The NFL's not going to adopt those because NFL will be like, well, you took that from that league or whatever league. But when the UFL becomes a farm league for the NFL, which I think it's heading that way.
Sure,
I
and think, that's an XFL rule.
Yep, and I think they should adopt. Do that. I mean, that's – You know, now at the point, the kick. Oh, we'll get into it later, but the kickoff should just be done because.
Yeah, it doesn't doesn't matter anymore. We'll talk more about that. And, you know, speaking of the UFL and somebody involved in the UFL, I have a little rant on that individual and what's happening. Actually, my rant is more towards you. We'll do that coming up next.
What, me?
No, the people. Chase and Big Joe, 102.5, 106.3, the game.